Sam or whatever you want to call me, it's fine. I'd like to talk about gardening. Who here has a garden? Oh, lots of people. Who likes to garden? Even better. Right on. I'm starting out with gardening, and I enjoy it as well. We probably about 3 years ago or so we started in our backyard with gardening, a vegetable garden, and so we're beginners, Irina and I. It's there's quite a bit to learn, actually. So what I know about gardening so far is that either you got to dig up or kill the grass first thing, and then till the ground a couple of times depending on the soil. And once it's tilled, then you can start planting or seeding all kinds, whatever. Potatoes, cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, peppers. That's what we've planted. Some parsley, zucchini. And the list can go on. You can plant whatever your heart's desire is. So once you've planted, you need to water or pray for rain. Simple, right? So far, it's pretty simple. Next thing you see is what? Who can guess? What's next?
Weeds.
Weeds. Yeah, weeds and more weeds. They don't need to be planted for some reason. They come on their own. And then after that, once the plants start coming up, the ones that you've planted, then you got to watch your dog or the gophers or rabbits, potato bugs. So now you got to start protecting the plants that you've planted. Or if you let them take over, they'll ruin the plants. If you let the weeds get too big and you pull them out, they might pull the plants with them. So it'd be a good idea to get them ahead of time. Get them once you start noticing them, pull them out or hoe them. When we first came to Canada in 87, for the first number of years, my parents, my brother Corny and I, we went from one 40-acre field of beets to another, hoeing and pulling weeds. I asked myself, why do we have the weeds? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Starting at verse 17. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." So there we have it. That's why we have weeds. Because of man's disobedience, the ground is cursed. My parents were hard workers, such a great example in that they taught us how to hoe only the weeds and not harm the plants. Dad would sharpen the hose often to make it easier and more efficient. Those were some of our best times together. I miss my dad. I have so much to say to him now. I would gladly hoe another field with him. He wanted to make things easier for us. It was hard work. We needed to provide. So what he would do to sharpen a hoe, take a hole like this, put it on the edge of the tailgate. What's this called?
File.
You know, not my holes, on the feed. Yeah. And he would go, and sharpen this thing often. We'd get to the end of a field, or after a couple of days. He would sharpen it for us. Proverbs 27:17-18. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. So he is a great example of that. It's a good imagery that we would encourage one another, sharpen one another. If your heart was a garden and scriptures were the seeds, what have you planted? Or are you planting? Are you planting gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, joy, peace, humility, joy, and the list can go on and on of what we can plant. How is it growing there? Let's go to James chapter 3. Starting at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. The other day, a man stopped by my yard, and I've got Stan's tractor. He's got it for sale there. And so he came to look at it, and he came to the door and asked if he could see it. Sure, I went out there with him. And he says to me, out of the blue, the biggest mistake I've ever made is come to Canada from Mexico. I said, oh, wow. That's new. Like, I'm so grateful that my parents came to Canada. From what I remember from Mexico there, we came here in 87, 88. We went back for a few winters. But it was that we read the Bible in High German, but we really didn't understand the language. We could read it, write it, Buchstabieren. That was no problem. But we never spoke High German. He says, well, his family comes from out there here to visit, and they come here and make him jealous. I said, of what? Not saying that there isn't good in Mexico. Sure there is, but why do they come here and make you jealous? Well, he says, because they would buy me a million times over. I'm like, okay. See, he was harboring bitterness in his heart. Jesus says in Luke 6, let's turn there. Starting at verse 43. No tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree... let me start again. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It was in a way discouraging for me to hear this 60, he's probably in his 60s, man to, I just took the picture of it, here I am, a young man raising a family, to see that that's the focus. It's important, very important, what we speak of when we meet people. It's more important what's in our heart, because that is what we speak of. Let's turn to Proverbs 15. Starting at verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Let's jump to verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. but the heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. James chapter 1, verse 19. Aaliyah, do you want to come up and recite it?
James 1, verse 19 and 20. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires.
Thanks, Aaliyah. She is very helpful in preparing. She came up after Sunday school and said, "There's, I got another verse that you need to share. It fits well." Let's turn there. Numbers 14. Just the first part of the verse. Verse 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Thanks again, Aaliyah. So, reading this first, I thought, oh, back in verse 19 in James chapter 1, this is perfect. Slow to speak, quick to listen. That's for me. I shouldn't talk. There's my excuse. I can just get out of this scripturally. Or isn't that what it says? No, it says my dear brothers and sisters. So he's James, who's the author. Not sure if which James it was. It seems as though it was the brother of Jesus, which they get out of Acts 15, I think. Anyway, he was writing to Jewish Christians, Jewish believers. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This which can save you is not talking about going to heaven when you die. It's about preserving life here, living a better quality life in obedience, a life that produces righteousness that God desires from us. Human anger doesn't produce righteousness. Anger is like the thistle in my garden. It's pokey, grows fast, and the roots are deep. You can't just grab it. Well, you can, but if you do, you'll get hurt. When My parents did plant good seed. But we also found ourselves struggling with this weed of anger in our home. Even though we had mastered the acres upon acres of weeds, we were efficient. But we weren't that efficient in our home. I find that even we today aren't that efficient in our home. It needs a lot of work. But I want to encourage us to not focus on the weeds, but focus on planting, so that we can plant plants that'll bear fruit, that will produce the righteousness that God desires. And this takes time. Lots of time. You've got to pull the weeds or hoe the weeds before they take over. The scriptures are full of seeds that we can plant. Then we need to water with love. If you need to take a watering can and physically demonstrate that, maybe I should next time. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its works, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given you." It's not natural to count a joy when you face a trial. It takes an effort. Or who finds it natural to approach trials with joy? Anybody? I don't. I usually, my first reaction is either complaining, or I greet it with distress. But in time, with an effort, we can count it joy if our focus is on the Lord who provides. He provides strength. We can face our trials with joy. James' purpose in writing to the Jewish believers was to encourage them to face trials with faith and perseverance. And we really have no excuse. 1 Corinthians 10, let's go there. 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." It's evident that many of you are persevering and facing the trials, and are being such a great example. I want to thank you for that. I'd like to close with Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word planted in our hearts that leads us to righteousness. Help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Help us to be self-controlled. Thank you for your great example in all these things. Thank you for your great love and how you provide all that we need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.